Well, good morning. It is morning. Yeah. We're on a different time clock. We're on an international time clock. So sometimes we wake up, we don't know where we are. You know, one of the bad signs is when we're home for a month and we're off and on for a month. You know, like we're home for a month, we're away for a month, we're home for a month. The bad sign is when you actually, when you're at home and you're asleep, and then you sort of quickly wake up and grab the phone for room service and you're in your own home. That's a bad sign that you travel too much. But those who have never known of us, is anybody here who's never seen us minister before or don't know us? Oh, wow. Okay, welcome to the Divinity Code experience. I love your worship, ma'am. It's really anointed, thank you. I'm sort of an ex-rock singer, so I love you have that bit of sort of like a sanctified Susie Quattro type of thing going on there. I love it, it's awesome. And we want to impart into you afterwards, if that's okay. Yeah.
So for those who haven't heard of us before, and you may not understand the relevance of dreams and visions, but they are a vehicle of God in the prophetic realm. And every one of you are more prophetic than you realize. God has gifted us, I'm talking about every one of us, with the ability to understand and hear revelation so that we can enter the kingdom. Psalm 105 verse 19 says, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested or tried him. Now, that was written about Joseph, Jacob's son. And what was the word that tested or tried him? Well, I'll fill in the blank, really. That word was the dream from Genesis 37. So Adam and Adrian are not saying that the dream is a word from God, but the scriptures itself say that the dream is a word from God. So let's just open our hearts and realize that God is bigger than speaking to us out of that book. He can speak to us however we're prepared to listen. Now, as a good teacher of the word, we need to see it lined up in two or three witnesses. So if you are taking notes and you are questioning whether that is true, and I'll come back to Psalm 105 verse 19 in a moment, but you might also want to write down Daniel 2:23 and Daniel 4:33. Because in both of those places, you'll find that a dream is as a word. All right, and so you'll find it's the Hebrew milah that's used, and it's translated as word, matter, or thing. And it's Daniel interpreting Nebuchadnezzar and his own dream. And you'll find that each time the word milah could be exchanged for word, matter, or thing. And so the word was revealed to Daniel. The interpretation was revealed, and it was a dream that he's speaking about. So three times in Scripture, a dream is as a word. Now let's go back to Psalm 105 verse 19, which says, until the time that his word came to pass. Now his word that came to pass, of course, was the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowing down to him, and the sheaves of wheat bowing down to him. But what was the word that tried him? It says, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested or tried him, purified him. Now Joseph isn't goody two shoes that I heard about in Sunday school. He wasn't the perfect man. Jesus is the perfect man. Joseph had issues. He had a pride issue. If you really want to go deeper, Joseph says at the beginning of his ministry to his brothers, I've had a dream. He's on the throne. I've had a dream. He comes to a place with the butler and the baker, and he says, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me. And then he grows and he says, it's not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace in Genesis 41. He's actually making the move from being like the maiden in Song of Songs. My beloved's mine and I'm his. Where's the emphasis there? My beloved's mine and I'm his. First of all, it's on getting before you reciprocate. That's an immature love. He moves to a place like with the maiden where she says, I'm my beloved's and he is mine. And now there's still a level of maturity here. She's giving herself away. We're giving ourselves away, but we're expecting something in return. Joseph comes to the place where, like the maiden in Song of Songs, she says, I'm my beloved's and his desire is towards me. She abandons himself to her lover, to God. And that's the transition that Joseph makes in his maturity. God's dealing with this core of his being and pride. And when we come back to Psalm 105, verse 19, it says, until the time this word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested or tried him. So Joseph was being purified, moving to that place. But what was the word that tested or purified Joseph? It was a bread maker. It was dreams of a bread maker who was broken and hung on a tree, and a wine bearer who was in a pit and was resurrected. Joseph had to go through death and resurrection in prison. And that's why it says in Genesis 41 verse 1, after 2 full years, Pharaoh had a dream. Because in the Hebrew mindset, a year is as a day. There is a week of days, there's a week of weeks. Pentecost follows, or Feast of Harvest follows Passover. There's a week of months. The first month in the Jewish calendar is full of festivals, and so is the seventh. And there's a week of years. On the seventh year, you would rest your land and have a Sabbath or a rest for the land. And so therefore, when Pharaoh comes to that place where after 2 full years, what year is he in? After 1 year, after 2 years, he's now in the third year. He's in the third day. And he's ready for resurrection. And so Joseph went through death and resurrection just as Jesus did.
As Joseph stood before Pharaoh, it was interesting when you read the passage of Scripture, it wasn't the dream interpretation, that wasn't what actually gave him the nation. It was that gave him his freedom, but it's the wisdom and the revelatory knowledge gave him the nation. So it's one thing to be able to have the gift of a prophet, a gift to interpret dreams, that can get you to a certain point. It can actually open doors. But when you come into the intimacy with your God and you're completely selfless and you have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, that's when you start to tap into the heavenly wisdom. And that wisdom will give you the solution to the problem. See, people are looking for solutions to the problem. That's what marketing is today, with successful businesses, solutions to the problem. And Joseph was a businessman, but he tapped into the wisdom of God. It's the ingenious mind of God, where he had favor everywhere he went because he had that wisdom for the solution to the problem. And he was raised up at the right hand of actually Pharaoh, as a symbolism of Jesus being raised up to the right hand of God, because Pharaoh arrogantly, even though he wasn't and he had a principality behind him, Pharaoh claimed to be God, but God always out-trumps principalities, amen? So Joseph was, he actually had the whole nation. He was hand, you know, in those days, they hand you a signet ring, like Mordecai and Esther, and that is to govern. And this is what was happening in the last days again for these who are tapping in the dreams and the visions. It says, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy, old men will dream dreams, young men will see visions. And this is the keys with the outpouring, is having the wisdom to have influence over governments, nations, communities, and to be able to have the wisdom to be able to bring the display of God, bring the counsel of God, and move in power like Daniel, when they said there's no God like the God of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego and Daniel. This is what we're coming into. This is what the bride's going to look like in the new covenant era, in a new covenant way. We're going to see this displayed in the last days. Amen? Now, there's warnings in dreams. See, people have criticized Adrian and I. In the early days, they thought we were heretics into New Age. And, you know, God bless, we're not into tearing down any churches. Every church, originally, something happened, God moved, and it actually became an institution. And I don't like to call it institutions, but they can't become institutions. They're still God's church. But with the things of the Spirit, they become quite ignorant, and they're fearful of the unknown. So when you start moving in the prophetic, in a really sharp way, in a high level, you start moving in dreams and visions, they freak out because the supernatural is displayed and they get fearful. But did you know there's dreams and visions all throughout the Word of God? And there's a couple of dreams in the book of Matthew that brought a warning to the Magi that were going to bear gifts to Jesus when he was born. And Herod summons them and said, I too want to worship him. So please tell me where the child is. But he had a principality and he was insecure. So that opened the door for the demonic powers to come in, because he thought there was only enough room for one king in Israel. So he basically wanted these men to show him where the baby is, to kill Jesus. But in the night, the Magi had a warning in a dream. Had a dream of a warning in the night, I should say. And this is amazing, because we need to take heed of warnings. One warning, it actually saved the redemption power plan of God for mankind. Amen? So this is how important it is. But we are not a ministry of dreams and visions. We are a ministry to equip the body, to equip the saints through dream interpretation and through the prophetic, to equip people to go into the intimacy, to have an intimate relationship with their Heavenly Father. And that's what we're talking about, is the relationship with our Father, so you can move and understand your identity as a co-heir with Christ, the Son of God. And you are sons of God. You are heirs of the kingdom, and you have that authority to walk the way Jesus walked. We are all called to move in the such supernatural power, to move in demonstration, to be able to release the heart of the Father. Amen?
Basically, if you've not heard us before, it's really important for us that our foundation is always the Word of God, the Logos. Absolutely critical that we have the Logos, because when you're interpreting what God's saying, you've got to look at that through the lens of Scripture. You have to see, that's the only way you can discern what God is saying. You've got to have that base within you so that you can discern what God's saying. The problem with our generation is we become dull to the voice of God. You know, in Isaiah it says that they're blinded in their eyes. And so God's always speaking, but we're not always hearing. And so just as Adam and I, we use dreams as a vehicle to release the kingdom. But you need to understand that as you're reading the Word of God, God is actually speaking on other layers within the Word all the time. And we fail to read beyond the narrative. For example, you know, Moses was balking at I could do multitudes of these things, but Moses was balking at the command to go back and tell Israel that he had spoken to Yahweh, Yud Hey Vav Hey. Behold the hand, behold the nail. Yud is a hand. Hey means behold. Vav is a nail. Hey is behold. The Yud Hey Vav Hey, Yahweh. Behold the hand, behold the nail. So as Moses was balking at the fact that he had this encounter in Exodus chapter 3, and in Exodus chapter 4, God says to him, what do you have in your hand? He says, well, I've got a staff. He says, well, throw it to the ground. You know the story, and the staff becomes a snake. What is that? Well, what is that staff? Well, first of all, when you want to interpret Scripture, you use Scripture to interpret Scripture. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 13, the second part of that verse. 1 Corinthians 2:13b. It says this: when the Holy Spirit teaches, he compares spiritual things with spiritual things. And you bring two scriptures together and you'll gain an understanding, an insight, and a depth you didn't have as you were reading that first narrative or the first story. So, what is it that staff used for in Exodus chapter 14? Well, that staff was extended by Moses to divide the Red Sea. Now, what is it that divides? If we go back now to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, what does it say? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder. It's the word of God that divides. So in Moses' hand, that staff is symbolic of the word of God. And the word of God in heaven, because it's in his hand, in the air. And as he throws it to the ground, the word of God comes to earth. And that snake symbolizes sin. So he says to Moses, go back, throw that down, comes the snake. What he's symbolically showing is that the word of God in heaven has come to earth and becomes sin for us. He says, well, what if they don't believe that? Well, he says, now get your hand and put it into your garment or your bosom, old King James. All right, and so he does that. You know the story. What happens to the hand? It becomes leprous. Now, leprosy in Scripture is as sin. You'll find that out if you read Leviticus chapter 14. This is the offering for a leper. So, or for the cleansing of a leper. You get two heavenly beings, two turtle doves. Jesus and the Holy Spirit, two heavenly beings, two turtle doves. You put one in an earthen vessel. You clothe him in humanity because we have this treasure in earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7. You kill that bird in the earthen vessel and you dip the other bird in it to spread and sprinkle the blood. The message. Jesus came to earth. It's all over running water, as well, which is, it's under the strength and the power of the Spirit of God. All right? So what you're seeing there is Jesus come to earth, die for us, and the Spirit of God spread that message, symbolized there in the killing of those two turtle doves, two heavenly beings. So now his hand's leprous. All right? That's the right hand of God taking sin for us. Now, Moses is there and he's got leprosy on his hand. He says, what does he do now? God, what do I do now? He says, now put that back into your garment. And you know the story, he puts it back into his garment and this time it comes out clean. What is that? That's the right hand of God clothed in sin, becoming sin for us and taking that sin into hell. Because the earth, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, but the Bible says in Ezekiel that hell is in the center of the earth. You know, and you'll know that from Jesus said, when he was speaking about Jonah, he says how Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of, you know, Sheol. All right, and so you see there going down inside the earth is a picture of him going to hell. Hell will hold a sinner if he wants to hold on to his sin. Jesus took and dealt with our sin and deposited in the depository, which is hell, for sin. All right, so he comes out and it's clean. So if they don't believe that the Word of God came to earth, became sin for us, and it's the depiction here, if they don't believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, now that's a different thing. All right, now we're talking about our day. And now God says, well, Moses says, well, what if they don't believe these two signs? He says, now get a vial of water and tip it out, and that water will become blood. Water to blood, the conversion of water to blood, you can read it in 2 Samuel where David pours out the offering, that the mighty men go and grab the water from the well of Bethlehem, and they put themselves in the very jeopardy. He said, this water is as the blood of the very men who went in jeopardy of their lives, and he pours it out as an offering. Water to blood is an offering or a place of judgment. All right, and so if they don't believe that the Word of God came to earth and became sin for us, if they don't believe in the death and resurrection, there is a judgment coming. We are all covered in that blood because we've come to the cross, we've accepted Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what I'm saying to us is this: we've become dull to the voice of God and we miss his voice through symbolism. And it's always speaking to us every day in everyday life, but all the way through scripture. And we need to become people. So our mandate is not only to make people hungry to understand their dreams, but to make them hungry and start to explore the Word of God again and start to see life in the Word of God and a new excitement and a new revelation come to life as you read that book. Because otherwise it's just a boring old book. And then realize the revelation gives you life. And without that, your spirit's not alive. Without manna every day, we die and dry up.
So the Word of God, as you're hearing Adrian release revelation, it's not just words. There's layers of revelation in the Word of God. Amen? And we need to understand. And as a prophet, you need to understand symbolism. So sometimes the angel of the Lord came like on the weekend, and we don't worship angels. Those who are here that are new, we don't worship angels, but they play a major part in our lives. Some of you, you need to put them to work because you need to decree God's word and come into revelation. But angels release words when I'm standing with somebody, we're ministering on the weekend, but there can be snapshots of symbols sometimes because the unseen world is quite amazing. It's in revelation of symbols. There's another language of heaven, and that's why God speaks to us in dreams and visions, and Jesus speaks in parables. He says in Mark 4, Jesus spoke to his disciples. He said, to you, this is the inner circle, 12, to you I speak to you. It says, to you I reveal the mysteries of heaven. But those on the outside I speak to in parables. What does that mean? It means that those who are intimate with the Lord, who unseal the mysteries, he'll speak to you. He'll be intimate with you. God is wanting you to be intimate with him. He wants you to knock and seek and find because he wants that relationship with you. Everything can come in mysteries, but it's like another language. The heavenly language is a language to learn. He can speak to you in an audible voice. He's done that with me. When my mother speaks to me, and my father, sometimes I just forget about it. But when he comes in pictures and images, they're pegs for you to remember, and it's all about your mind is used up with images. Amen? It's like when Jesus prayed for the blind man. This is a very interesting passage of scripture. When Jesus prayed for the blind man, and people thought, when you read it, I've had these questions saying, did Jesus get it wrong because he had to go back and pray for him again? It's like, oh, sorry, I made a mistake. I accidentally created donkey's eyes, you know. I've got to redo it again. Sorry about that. But it's not. But Jesus didn't do that. It's got nothing to do with that. He actually, the man was called to be a prophet, a seer. So he prayed for the blind man. When he goes, what do you see? It's like Jeremiah, what do you see? He said, I see a boiling pot. This is what Jeremiah, he said to the man, what do you see? I see people walking around like trees. So what he did is open up his spiritual eyes first. He said, the Lord was like, he was actually seeing the future after the power of the cross, where people are going to be walking around like trees of righteousness, walking in that authority. Isaiah 60:61, trees of righteousness. And that's what the body of Christ is going to look like. There's a new breed rising in the power and the spirit of Elijah before the second coming. And the church is going to look like that. The spotless bride is going to move in power. And they're going to see through the lens of the heart of the Father. And it's trees of righteousness. There's so many reasons when you read the word. There's so many layers of revelation. It's like with Egypt. Why did the Nile turn to blood? Okay. Wow, Lord, that was a great party trick to sort of display his power. But there's got to be a reason for that. Do you know, Pharaoh had a water spirit. He was controlled by a principality. It was actually a water spirit. And you go, oh, here we go, water spirits. Where's that in the gospel? Well, it's actually in Ezekiel 32. Pharaoh, it says there's a principality, it's a monster thriving through the Nile, muddying the waters. It's actually a water spirit. So before God's power is going to be displayed, God had to dismantle the principality. And what was that going through the river? It was the sign of the blood of the Lamb. And man, the worst nightmares for demons drowning in the blood of Jesus. And everything's Jesus the same yesterday and today and forever. The cross hasn't happened, but in eternity, it's something that there's no time zone. It's different. That's why he had to put the Lamb's blood on the door. It started with the blood and it ended with the blood. Does that make sense? So there's so much layers in the gospel. Excuse me, in the Word of God, in the Torah, as well as in all the Word of God, there's so many layers of revelation that we need to see. And once we come into that gift of revelation and seeing and discerning the Word of God, as Adrian was sharing, that's when you're going to understand your dreams. And all you need to do is ask for wisdom. And we're going to pray corporately. But I really do feel. Pastor, are you? You're the one that's taken the baton. I'm assuming from one of them. Well, I just feel to later on we're going to impart everything we have into you. Is that all right? We just have to ask that question, because some people go no, but we just want to do that. If that's okay, I just feel that something is going to happen here in another level. All right.
So Adam and I have deliberately built a foundation in the Word here this morning, because some of you haven't heard us before. We just want to make sure that you don't think we're out there on a limb. You know, well, that could be too. If you want to get the fruit, you've got to go out on a limb. But understand this. You need to understand there is a foundation in the Word that we all need to be secure in. Our foundation is the Word and Jesus Christ. So we've talked about the Old Testament. Let's have a quick look at something in the New Testament. Then Adam and I are going to interpret some dreams, or the Holy Spirit's going to interpret some dreams and hopefully use us to do that. Won't assume anything, right? But Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know that story, and we've read it. But what we do is we get caught up in the narrative. The number 5 is the number of grace. And 1,000, according to Isaiah 60:22, it says, a small one will be a nation, a little one A little one, a small one would be a nation. A little one, 1,000. 1,000 is as a nation. So 5,000 is the nation of grace. Jesus fed the nation of grace. Who is the nation of grace? Have a guess. No, Israel. All right, Israel is the nation of grace. So Jesus, first of all, feeds 5,000. He feeds the nation of grace. And in the process, they fill up to overflowing 12 baskets. Now, what shape is a basket? It's concave. And over the weekend, I've been teaching that anything concave is a picture of what? The human heart. That's 12 hearts he's surrounded by. Who could they possibly be? Well, mate, the tribes, but the tribes are representative by the 12 disciples. All right? And so in the process of pouring himself and being broken for Israel, he's been filling up his disciples. All right? And so to overflowing with the word of God, the broken bread. All right? And then subsequent to that, then he feeds 4,000 with 7 loaves and 3 fish, I think it is, or something like that. I don't even know the numbers of the bread and the fish, to be honest. All right? But what I want you to see here is on the fourth day of creation, God, well, let me just go this. I'll mention it because I've said it there. But 4 can be dominion because God created the sun on the fourth day and the moon and to have dominion over the night and the day. But also 4 can be the 4 corners of the globe or the 4 winds or the 4 corners of the world as in the book of Revelation. And so 4 are the 4 corners of the globe and thousands of nations. And so God, after he feeds the 5,000, and there was a time, an epoch, where Israel or the disciples were sent out only to the children of Israel. They weren't to go to the Gentiles yet. But subsequent to that, then they're sent out to the nations of the world. And the 4,000 represents the 4 corners of the globe. And the thousand, the nations of the globe, they're sent out. How many baskets did they take up after that? They took up 7 baskets. Basket is a heart, and 7's a number of rest. God wants the world and the nations of the world to come to rest in this gospel of the word of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? So sometimes we're reading through even the New Testament, we're failing to see that God has layers of truth beneath the surface because we become dull. We get caught up, and so it's like that with our dreams. Often we'll get emotional or we'll get caught up with the imagery in our dream and go, well, that's just nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. And so what we're doing is this. We're walking out of this building, and when we see that there's been a rain shower come through, what we're looking at is half, that we look at the arc of a rainbow, and what we're actually seeing is only half the picture. Because if we were elevated, so we're looking at it from earth, we only see half the picture. But if we were look at it from a mountain, maybe one of the mountains in the Rockies here, or if we were in an aeroplane and we looked at that same shower, what we would see would be a complete circle. All right, and that would give us God's perspective on something. So sometimes when you go, well, I had a really weird dream last night, you're just looking at it from God, from earthly perspective, not it from God's perspective. And our mandate really is to start to see things as God sees them from above. Now, they might seem weird to us, but when you realize that Jesus didn't teach anything about the kingdom without a parable. Without a parable, he did not teach. Your dreams and visions are personal parables. And how they relate to you and your, you know, how you are interactive with the kingdom. And so we need to start taking more note of what the little snippets and some of the dreams that we dream, because God is speaking, but we're not always hearing.
Sorry, I'm here for you now. Had to go to the confession box.
Are you all cleaned up then?
Yeah, I'm all good. we're going to do some demonstration. You guys are cool with that?
Yeah.
Okay, demonstration. Thank you, Jesus. We just like to acknowledge the Holy Spirit, and the reason why we got sounds in the background, if we could just have it up a little bit, just for a tad, and the reason why we have sounds, those who are new, that the Holy Spirit can move anywhere, but it's when there's something that magnifies the Holy Spirit when you worship the Lord and you actually come into that place of just worship and being intimate with Him, it draws the kingdom, it pulls on heaven. So when we worship God and you're moving in the prophetic, it's a safe place, because I was talking about last night about some people can move in the gift, that is outside the counsel of the Holy Spirit, and it can be quite accurate, but they can move in the soulish realm where you can draw people to yourself, and that's a false prophet. I'm sorry, but there are prophets in the church that are operating in witchcraft by default. They're not knowing it, but witchcraft is manipulation of actually, it can be stirring up fear and cause being an alarmist and not having a solution to the problem, and people can be in fear, and fear and the imagination can spiral out of control, and it opens up doors of hell. And when you see a lot of chaos, what's going on in the world right now, the Satan wants his will be done as it is in hell. And we are vessels, and Satan uses vessels when people meditate on things like violence, pornography. They start meditating on darkness. This generation with things like Moonlight, the actual series, or the series like the Harry Potter
that's
series.
Twilight.
You Twilight, know. Excuse me. Sorry. Twilight. These type of these sort of young, just a young generation stirring up, they get a bit of an adrenaline of fear, but they're opening up doors of hell. So Satan wants a revival of hell on earth. But what God is calling us to do, to be revivalists, is set our mind on things that are above, Colossians 3, where Christ is seated. Start meditating on the promises. Psalms 1, he who meditates on my word day and night is like a tree planted next to a stream. And when we come into that place of worship and meditation, nothing wrong with the word meditation, when you actually direct your thoughts towards heaven and recall your encounters, your experiences, recall the past miracles that have happened in your life, and get yourself so excited and undone in God, where new miracles are going to break out. So that's what God wants us to do, is come into that place before we minister. It's a safe place. Because when you see it through the lens of the Father, then you're going to move in wisdom when you actually use your gift. Amen? That's just what I learned, you know. I love it when the Lord disciplines me. That means I'm a legitimate child of God. Makes me excited when God loves me and disciplines me like a father, and I listen to him, because we grow into this. Amen. Now we're going to, just for the record, if we release a destiny over your life, or God will release it, you need to have an open ear and just receive it and become conceived with it. If it witnesses to you, 99.9% of the time it should, and it does. Because we unlock the dreams, or God unlocks the dreams, and you need to be pregnant with this revelation, because you will give birth to it. See, revelation is conception. When a woman gets pregnant, people go, oh, that's so wonderful. A married woman, of course, you know. And it's, you know, they celebrate, and they're painting the walls. You know, they got a little cot and a little baby clothes. Where's the baby? So by default, you're actually operating in faith, aren't you? Because there's no baby yet. So when you get, when you become, revelation is you're conceived with it. I've got a, and I'm not talking about blabbing it and grabbing it, but I've got a $40,000 car by having a vision, and I could become conceived with it. I needed a car. God knew that. And I gave birth. Someone just was an anonymous person who was actually gave it to me, but someone represented them and gave me keys to a Mazda 6 with 40 miles on the clock. I said, thanks. And they went, the guy said to me, are you excited? I mean, you don't. I said, yeah, it was a few weeks ago. I went, yeah! The baby! It looks like the baby's there, but it's just a little garment. Amen? Sorry, I'm like a cartoon character. Paint the garage. Yeah. Clean the garage out. Get rid of all that rubbish.
That's good. That's very good.
I like that. There's no copyright on that one, is there? Okay. Do you want to... Have you sort of qualified about...
No.
Okay.
So, evidently we're going to interpret some dreams now. For us to interpret a dream in a forum like this, it needs to be nice and short. When I say short, it means to be something that you can relate to us in around about 15 seconds. So that's really, really short. Anything longer than that, we might give you to 30 seconds with a bit of grace, all right? We might double that. But what happens is if it goes on and on and on, it'll derail where the Spirit of God wants to take us. And as I shared over the weekend, longer dreams are you've got to sit down at a table like this with a big slab of carrot cake and a couple of big mugs of coffee and a couple of forks, and you're actually working through bigger dreams as you're drinking coffee and you're musing over what God's showing you in that dream.
And I said yesterday, you can tell I've had a lot of long dreams. So, also, this is the level we're ministering in one-to-one, right? Is we're not foretelling, okay? Sometimes I'll let you know when we do. But foretelling is a higher level when you start moving in the prophetic. Clairvoyance foretell at a one-to-one, and it can be dangerous, okay? Foretelling can happen. But when you're in a higher level, we're talking to governments, officials, to the counties, you can be foretelling, because God releases out of his sovereignty some things that are inevitable, they're going to happen, and you need to prepare for it, okay? But you can't say, clairvoyance will say, you're going to marry a Mark, that's a guy called Mark, that's going to marginalize everything. You can't do that, all right? But what we're going to do is, it's foretelling. We're going to release, it's called foretelling, which is releasing the promises, stuff that resonates in you, confirming some stuff, and you need to receive it and act it out and play your part, okay? So in other words, every word we release is conditional. You need to have faith and play your part and do it. You know, I could release a word, and this has happened where we release a word and it's spot on what resonates in that person's heart, but they go off and do something stupid and overdose and die. Now God, at this level, with this type of prophetic words that we release, he will not interfere with your free will. You need to mature and grow up and activate. We need to mature and grow up. I'm saying this on behalf of me, I'm growing too. And we need to activate these promises and these words by walking in the Spirit and playing our part. Does that make sense? Okay. And if we say to someone, God's called you in the office of prophet, you might, please don't go and get all prideful like, I'm a prophet. And you're walking around giving your pastor grief. Going from church to church. Right. I'm a prophet. I have a word. And you're sort of hijacking the meeting. You actually got to grow into it. It's an invitation when we say that. And you need to grow into it and mature and actually respect and have a two-way respect with your pastor and honor leadership, honor the leadership. But someone said to me once, but my pastor doesn't receive the things of the Spirit. Well, then you need to go somewhere where you fit in and you have that like-minded agreement. Because it says in Acts 2, when they came together and they were like-minded, that's where there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Amen? So this is what we're qualifying today.
We need anything else we need to mention?
Yeah, please don't come up with someone else's dream. And don't come up with a really long dream, but within 15 seconds, because it sounds like this. Really, it sounds really fast. And we can't understand it, okay? It needs to be a simple, very simple dream or vision. Okay? Ready? Is that all fair enough? Is that clear? We're not trying to, you know, and in advance we're apologizing. If it's too long, we will ask you to sit down in love. It's, I know it's a little bit awkward, but it's just, we love you. Sit down. But, you know, we're just trying to do it so we can flow. Amen? Gee, you want to be first, do you? Did she put your hand up to?
She did.
She did. She's keen. And she's sitting. Couldn't get any closer than that. Were you here on the weekend?
Yes.
Okay, did you enjoy yourself?
Yes. Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you. Wonderful.
We might need to catch her if we can.
This is a dream I had several months ago, and I was in the parking lot, parking the car. I had my grandchildren with me, and we were going into an apartment. In the apartment, there was some work being done, and they were changing the carpet. And so my husband came out and told me to be very careful because they were changing the carpet. One of the workers was sitting right there, and this lady said to him, "I just led him to the Lord," and I just gave him a thumbs up.
That was a good short dream.
It was. Now, what is really important as you hear the dream, you should repeat the dream because that gives you time to process. And I would say that 1 in 6 people will either point out things that you missed or they will embellish the dream in the heat of the moment. They may not have remembered as they were relating the dream. So what you said was that you pulled up, I think you said that you pulled up in the parking lot. And then I've forgotten the rest, no. And then
with your grandchildren.
You were with your grandchildren. And there was a place where you went and you said, Your husband said to you, be careful because they're changing the carpet. All right? And in the process of changing the carpet, what's the next part of that scene, Adam?
There was a man that was working on the floor, and a lady said to me, I just led him to the Lord, and I gave a thumbs up.
You gave the thumbs up. Okay. Now, you said the parking lot. Is that a known parking lot to you or any other parking lot?
It was the apartment parking lot, and there was a person there that couldn't see me, and so I had to pull back, and my grandson had to say, we're here.
But you were...
You didn't say that before, though, did you? See, I told you.
You need to tell the whole dream. Yeah.
No, I didn't think that.
Oh, okay. You just forgot, honestly, did you?
Didn't think it was important.
So...
What is important?
You pulled up to the apartment. You don't live in an apartment, and it wasn't your apartment that you saw. It was an apartment. Yes. And so you pulled up. Someone saw or didn't see you, and your grandson had to move out of the car and say, hey, I'm here, for them to see you. Yes.
See, that was very important to the dream. Very, very important.
Now, I can explain some of the metaphors, and we have to be sensitive to this dream because Adam and I understand what this dream means. All right? So, we are God's house. You and I are God's house. As 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1 says, I have a house, Paul says, I have a tent in heaven if this one's destroyed. My paraphrase. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that we are God's house. You are the temple of God independently, individually. 1 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6 says you are God's house corporately. So when you're looking at an apartment or a house, you're either looking at an individual or you're looking at a corporate gathering. Does that make sense? And qualified there in Scripture? So what we're looking at here is an apartment block, which are a lot of individual houses together that make up a building. So chances are we're looking at a structure, all right, a church structure. Pull up into the parking lot. Now, cars are ministry. Cars are individuals. They are vehicles to destiny. Cars can be families. If it's a sedan that you have at home, it can be a picture of you, your family. If you're on a motorbike, it means you have a powerful, independent ministry. If you're in a four-wheel drive, it means you're in a powerful, independent ministry. You can do the church thing between the curbs or the gutters or the water table or whatever you call them here in America. And then you can go off-road and you can carve your own road. And then you can come back and do the church thing again. So if you're in a four-wheel drive, very good picture of a powerful, independent ministry. You can play church, but you can also cut off and come back in. All right? And I don't mean that loosely, but a lot of time we do just play church, unfortunately. We need to start to think about the kingdom, as I was sharing on the weekend. Your grandson is a picture of your future. So your children are your future. Your parents can be a picture of your past in a dream. They can also be a picture of God, because he is ultimately your father. All right, so your parents can be a picture of the Godhead or the counsel of God. Like your children in this dream could literally be your children, or they can be your future. But here, It's your future. And you pull up, you're not noticed, but in the future you will be. All right? And then what happens is this. They're relaying the carpet, and the carpet's the thing that we walk on. It's like these tiles, these vinyl tiles. It is the foundation. So what we're talking about here is a changing of the foundation of the church. Does that ring any bells?
Thanks, Adrian, for handballing me that, sir.
In Australian rules football, one of the ways they pass the ball is they handball it. They don't want to be carrying the ball. So I've just given him.
There's two layers of this. Now, just to say that there's been some lot of hard ground ploughing in this church, and it's been good. There's a lot of ground that's been ploughed. And I see there's a transaction happening. Then just, it's just a quick light interpretation for, because there's something else about you personally as well, right? But I do see, because with the Word of God, there's layers of interpretation. There's not always one. You can get the Word of the Lord out of a dream, but also there's layers of revelation. How many people read the Word and all of a sudden you read something for about 10 years and you had a revelation, but another 10 years, another one jumps out? Well, that's what it's like. It's like a diamond, the Word of God is, and it's different angles, different... You look at the diamond, different angles, you see different colours, different aspects of colours. Amen? Different facades of colours. And this is what the dream is like, okay? This dream is that there's a lot of ploughing, and I just see that there's some sowing going on, but I do see that this church is changing the gears, where it's actually going to be... there's going to be a church where a lot of people are going to be... There's a harvest of souls. And I do see that in the future. Now, God's showing you this, and I know you do some intercession, your prayer. You do some prayer intercession, right? Is that what you're called to do? Do you do a lot of that? Sorry?
Not really.
Not a prayer intercessor?
I'm trying to move into that, but I haven't accomplished it yet.
Well, that's a bit negative, isn't it? I see you as a prayer intercessor. And that's what God's called you to do. You need to say, even though you might not be doing it, you need to say, I receive that. Because God wants calling you into that. But also God wants to release wisdom over you. All right? He wants to give you wisdom of what to do with it. Because I'm seeing that there's some offense around you. There's been some offense. I'm seeing a vision of that. And God wants to heal your heart, but God does want to give you wisdom, all right? Because God's grace is on you, but He wants. See, one thing we didn't clarify here today. You need to listen carefully. When we release a word, some people might be here in the place. I'm not saying this is happening. I'm just giving this as a general rule. We release a word, and someone might go, no, I don't agree with that prophet. I know they got this issue and that issue and this issue. How could that be? I don't believe that's right, because I know that, you know, they got this problem. But really, that's your problem. Now, however, the person needs to grow in wisdom. They might be a bull in a china shop. But they do need to grow in wisdom and mature. But God will still use everyone in spite of our... Who hasn't got any issues here? Anyone? Anyone? Well, guess what? God's going to use you. All you need is read God's generals. There's a lot of issues there. And God used them mightily and powerfully. The woman at the well, she had issues. They usually come in groups, women, when they draw for water, but she's on her own. She's one of those women that women don't like, even, because she had five husbands. But Jesus reached out and loved her, and she perceived that he was a prophet, and that was one thing. But then she had the revelation of Jesus. She became a revivalist. She led the whole town of Samaria to introduce them to Jesus. So this is what I want to say. I mean, this, I'm not directing this exactly to you, but I'm just saying some of the things I said, but I'm saying God's bringing you wisdom, but he's calling you to intercede and be an intercessor. But some things, because of some things that have happened, As people haven't seen you, that's what the dream means. They're not perceiving you at the moment, but God will in time. Okay? But you need to become pregnant with this as you're an intercessor, interceding, standing the gap for revival. All right? And also, I want to pray for you. Be even. Do you have a son?
Yes, I do.
I want to pray for him. Right? I want to pray that even there's some kind of reconciliation, even with the grandchildren. I just pray that there's actually reconciliation there, where you can actually be at peace, and there's no wall there. There's a brick wall, and that wall's coming down today, so you can actually be intimate and have that relationship, and actually influence the kingdom to your grandchildren. All right? But God's going to change the carpet within you at the moment, so that you know how to approach and be in a right spirit. Amen? And you're not in a wrong spirit, but there's times where you get frustrated. Sometimes I get frustrated. That's why I don't have the little fish symbol on the back of my car. I'm always going to try and be in the spirit. I'm being honest here. Hey, look, we're all in the same boat. We're not these guys that sort of go, we're Mr. Self-Righteous Ralph. I'm a righteous Ralph. We've got our issues, but God, we've got to be in the spirit. Amen? Do you got any more to cover, Adrian, with this?
I think that's good what you've shared there. It is really important to understand that as we're reading the Word, that as I've explained, there are multiple layers, and there are also multiple layers of fulfillment in the dreams as well. And so Adam's bringing another layer of interpretation here, the foundation. And so the way that you perceive yourself is going to change as well in this carpet situation, because God's changing your foundation as well. And you will come to a level of recognition and prominence, right? Whereas, you have, in a sense, you've been hidden, but now you're going to come to the fore, all right?
So we're going to pray for you. And we're going to pray for your blood levels, all right? We're going to pray that your blood pressure is coming in the divine order. The angel's shown me there's been some stress over you, and it's really caused your blood pressure to be high. And we're going to shut that down and reverse it in the spirit. And even the tension in the head, sometimes it just gets, you get so overwhelmed, and sometimes you feel like passing out because of the tension and the heaviness and the stress that can be upon you. We're going to break that off. And God's also going to bring correction in the lower back, the vertebrae in your back. Bring divine order. And there's going to be a posture as well. Even though in the natural, God wants to bring a correction with your back and your shoulders, but God wants to also give you a spiritual posture so you can have authority. Authority is when someone actually listens and receives from you. All right? But it's godly authority. All right? So just put your hands out for a moment. We need the catcher to be ready. I want you to reach your hands out to our sister. Yes, she is our sister. We've got to see her as our sister. Spiritual family, to me, is the real family, because it's going to be eternity. The Holy Spirit's here. There's an open heaven. Here it comes. Here it comes. The power of God's coming upon you is like the Kavod glory. Here it comes. We prophesy. Lord, we thank you for rewiring the mind. We thank you, Jesus. That's why it says, he who has faith like a little child will enter the kingdom, because a child from 0 to 5 gets a framework of this world, starts from the beginning to adapt in this environment. So we need to rewire our minds to go back and get a framework of the kingdom of God in our minds, so that we can be a part of it and be a citizen of heaven. Amen. So we release this over this woman, the mind of Christ to the fullness. Lord, I just decree this. Everything's possible. And we thank you that a blood is coming into the divine order. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, that anything from the past, even some of the stuff that she's with friends that she's trying to win into the kingdom of heaven, I thank you, you're giving her such peace. And she is an intercessor. She's standing in the gap. Anyone can be an intercessor. I'm not empowering her to be an intercessor in the house, but I'm just saying anybody can be an intercessor at home and pray for revival. I mean, she might be the intercessor of the house. I'm not saying she's not, but I'm not empowering her this and giving her the authority to do it. And as a part of the team here, I'm just saying that she can do it in the home, anywhere. And then what happens, what you do in secret, that's when people start to see you, when the anointing's on you. Amen? That's when doors open that no man can shut. We release the power over this woman right now. Divine order, signs, wonders, and miracles. And we thank you for the Son. Her Son's coming into the revelation of Jesus Christ, the fullness that he loves the Lord. Even as a young child, we thank you for the encounters that's over him. But we prophesy a high level of revelation, what it is to tap into the kingdom and not being frustrated and not being disappointed. And we break that off right now. We thank you for the grandchildren. Release the power right through her back. The lower back, the blood pressure is coming into divine order, the blood levels. We break off all the curses right now off her mind, and we thank you that she's no longer bound by any curses, and that she doesn't have any curses. If the enemy tries to manipulate and put curses on you, and we just break that off in Jesus' name. She's no longer bound by the curse of the Lord. Yes, just give God the glory and praise in Jesus' name.
Somebody else with a dream. This lady here on the table, this young lady.
So I had a dream about a month ago where I was at my parents' house, and it was like there was junk everywhere, and it was like war. There were like people were being brought in broken, and I was sort of ignoring it. There's like very sick, very broken people, and they're like, "Help me, help me, help me." I was ignoring it. I was in my PJs. I was getting dressed, and I had a hole in my left ear. And then suddenly the hole got healed and I started raising the dead. I went after the dead first.
I like that one a lot.
Now that's a good dream, isn't it? And as I was teaching over the weekend, it's often very good to focus on the ending of a positive dream like that, because that gives the person hope to focus out of a certain situation or circumstance. So I explained before that a house can be an individual or a house can be a corporate gathering of people. Now, it could be both in this situation. It could still be the individual, even though you see many people in this house. So it could still be like we're talking about inside our sister. All right, now, sometimes people manifest end-time dreams. I'm just saying as an aside here. You know, like the rapture and catastrophe and lava and gunships and all those sort of things and tanks and the end of the world scenes. Sometimes people get that as an interpretation for a dream, or they get that imagery from a dream because of a rough childhood and a family home that's been pretty like hard going. It's been warfare, all right? And sometimes they interpret that with a little bit of pride, saying, "Oh, God's showing me the end of the world." All right? But really what he's showing them is that they're carrying that trauma around with them from their childhood. I'm not saying that here, all right? But it could well be that God's portraying certain individuals who have issues, all right, from your past and in your life. And it could also be the church. If you're part of a church, it could well be that you're witnessing and seeing that we are the walking wounded, all right. And so there are issues that people need to be healed up on. Now you said that you had a hole in your left ear.
It was like the size of a bullet hole.
Yes,
it was right here.
Okay. You know, in Exodus, I think it's 21, when a love slave would have his ear pierced with an awl, an A-W-L, an awl, and that he would come to the door of the house and they would put an awl or a nail or screw through the ear. And what that portrayed is that person would only have ears for his master. He was now his love slave. It could be that here. Now, it also could be this. When Jesus, in Matthew 25, I think it is, he separates the sheep to the right and the goats to the left. It could well be that there is something in the natural realm, which is the left, the fleshly realm, the physical realm, the right, the spiritual realm, the faith realm, the kingdom realm, decisions that are made where you turn right are spiritual decisions, decisions where you turn left are often just decisions that you're making out of your own soul, out of your own natural thinking. Here, the left ear has a hole in it, but like a bullet hole, well, bullets are words. Any projectile in scripture, an arrow, a spear, a stone, are pictures of revelatory words firing, or words coming at you. We've got to be aware of the fiery darts of the enemy, all right? So you hear what I'm saying? So they're words. What I think has happened here is you've been damaged, all right, by wrong words in the natural, all right? But God's going to heal that so that you, so it's damaged the way that you perceive yourself and what God's, you know, like has for you, all right? You've been injured, as it were, in the natural, all right? But God is going to heal that, and you are going to move with healing, because it's almost like the things that you've experienced, you're going to be able to move in and healing at, and with the comfort that you've received, you're going to be able to comfort others.
Also, yeah, 100%, this is what the Lord is saying in the Spirit. Now, can I ask you, are you from this church?
No, I came with Ellie.
Okay, just because the reason why I'm asking that, I've had a vision, you love the Lord. You, the grace of God's over your life, all right, and that's a beautiful thing. But God wants to empower you into your destiny, because I see that in the past there has been some manipulation and control around your life. It's like a cult type of thing, a cult religion that believes in the Lord, but it's very cultic, that actually has actually spoken some stuff, and there's a mindset that you've been brought up in, and it's actually has affected you of the way you think, right? Now, they're good people, but there is it's a cult that you've been brought up in. Yeah, and it's where, when I say cult, it's like it's a religious, oppressive religious institution can be in a form of a cult, where if you leave, we're not your friend anymore, type of thing. And that can be a cult in even a subtle way, where if you decide to leave and you try to leave graciously, no one will talk to you, they shut you off. That is a cult. We love them, we bless them, but we need to be free to hear what the Lord is saying. And I see that that's what's happened with you when it comes to the past. Is in the past, not now, but there's been some stuff that's been spoken over your life, and there can be some legalism and control. But now God is that the fact that it got healed. Now you're going in a transition, because when you're in your pajamas, it means that you're around some believers that were sleepy, right? So it means. There's a book called Placebo. It's a very controversial book, where a man died. He was I won't say what denomination, but he was a mainstream, no Holy Ghost type of thing. And he stood before the Lord, and he thought had his act together. He thought, I'm going to get all these rewards. And the Lord just basically looked at him and said, everything was for yourself. And he didn't acknowledge me. It was about you. And he was a mess, but God sent him back. It was gracious. He sent him back. And he wrote this book called Placebo, and it's actually basically says wakey wakey sleepy church, and that's what I'm sorry.
That would be the church I grew up in.
You grew up in that, and that's why I'm the sleepy church, and that's why I'm trying to release this. That there's sleepy church, but they have these conditions, and they can be working out of the law rather than the Holy Ghost, right? And I've been there, where there's a cult. I went to a funeral last year of the same type of church. For a friend of mine died, they treated me like a leper. I sort of like try to say hello to everybody, but I love them though. I'm not trying to be critical, but it's a cult. It's a religious devil. See, the devil will preach to you in the wilderness. The devil is religious. It's very subtle. So I'm excited for you, because you're actually going to start moving in signs and wonders, and I can see your whole persona is going to change. And you're a daughter of you're a child of the Most High God, and I can see that you have a healing gift. God's going to move in that healing gift. And I see that now I'm saying this, I don't say this a lot, but I see a Catherine Coleman type of anointing. God wants you to look at Catherine Coleman. I'm seeing that parallel, because I see you as, even God's giving you, you're a psalmist, God's giving you sounds. He's giving you that ability, strategy to lead people to worship. And I'm seeing miracles, not necessarily laying hands on people, but in areas when you're speaking, they're going to get healed by listening to what you're saying and bringing people into the presence. I see that over you. And I see that I'm seeing you're writing. Yeah. You're a writer. I'm seeing a vision. The angel showed me that you're very good at writing, of creative writing, and in fact you're going to become a master of that and a degree.
Yes.
Does that make sense? See, the angels here show me this vision. Have we met before?
Yeah.
You believe that's the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
You believe the Lord sent his angel and is actively interacting with the Holy Spirit to release this vision because you're a writer and God's giving you so many books. And you're called to move, but the testimonies and the teaching have come out of your experience.
Yes.
But that's why you're learning this creative writing right now. You're actually in study.
Yes.
Now, no man can know this. Only God knows the mysteries. Amen? Now, we're going to pray for her, for this great woman of God. I'm saying this by faith because you are. And we're agreeing with heaven. Amen? But I just think, Adrian, because we both write books, my writings is very simple for people to receive it, you know, and Adrian's writing is very deep and revelatory. I write and I teach and I coach of what out of my experiences, and there's miracles and healings out of it. But this man is writing out of revelation. And I want to I think you should pray for that impartation as well. And then we're going to pray for the leaders, and we're going to change gears in a minute.
You know, if without revelation, we dry up. Without manna every day, we dry up. And if all we're hearing is history, we will dry up. So what we need, every one of us, is a spirit of understanding on our hearts and a hunger for God's manna every day. And if we spend time with him, we will receive revelation. We receive that manna. So Father, right now, I pray for my sister.
Holy
and I
Spirit.
Thank you that you've called her to be a ready writer. But right now, Lord, I pray that you would prepare her spirit and that you would clothe her spirit with a spirit of understanding. That she wouldn't just look at the thoughts and read through the scriptures, and she wouldn't just be able to recount a story, but she'd see the message beneath, what's understanding the message.
Come on.
So I release the spirit of understanding to my sister right now in the mighty name of Jesus.
We decree the power over this woman of God. If we can maybe, do we have anything to cover her in? We don't. Okay. We can have one of the sisters come up on the team. Who's on the team? Yes, ma'am. Just to come and just be on her side as well, because we just want to just, it's got to be a safe place. Amen? So we decree right now the presence of God over this woman.
Yes.
We decree that, Lord, the church is waking up. We decree, Lord, she's having an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, and I thank you, Lord, that heavenly ring is on her right ear, so she can hear. And Lord, we thank you for healing up that left ear, the religious controlling spirit that is actually in a place of a sleepy church. We thank you for that church. Bless that church. We thank you for revival. We thank you, Lord. We bless the people of God in that church. And we prophesy this young lady is coming into that place of leading people into worship. She's getting sounds. She's understanding the worship strategy to lead people into the intimacy of the Father. And miracles, you're going to hear popcorn in the meeting. Miracles are going to pop. And then she's going to write about it. There's books. There's a library inside of her. And we decree this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank you that all abuse has come off of her. It was a childhood, even the Lord around her. Any bullying spirit has come off her as well. We decree this in Jesus' name. And if we can have, Pastor, if you can come up, and if you guys, and I want to impart into you as well, if we can. But if you, two of you come up first, because first we're going to impart into the pastor, and then all three of us, we're going to pray for this gentleman, Evan. Is there another man here too? Is your wife here?
Yep.
Oh, can she come out the front? If we can just come over here, we're just going to pray for you first. Is that all right? Because you're going to Israel. And I just feel to just, is that okay just to release impartation when it comes to the level of dreams, visions? So, just in case, we might need the pastor to help us out as well to catch, so it's sort of like, yeah. Father, we just thank you for this man of God. We thank you for Rich. Lord, anoint him. Rich, Lord, we just anoint him with the mantle as he's been sent out, Lord, in Jesus' name. He already has amazing gift and teaching of the prophetic. But Father, we just thank you for giving him such a mantle to speak. And as he speaks, he's speaking the very words of God. And I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, as I'm just getting this, as Peter and John stood before the Jewish community, the Sanhedrin, they said, who are these? They was marveled. And they said that these men are uneducated men. But they're speaking with great wisdom because they were men that had spent time with Jesus. And that's all we need to do is spend time with Jesus. And I just release this right now that mantle that's on him when he speaks before the Jewish people. When he speaks in Israel, it's like a river. It's disarming religious spirits. See, there's angels. They gave Moses the word, the law. But now it's kind of like demons are manipulating, interacting with that. And we just break that off the Jewish people. And we thank you that they have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying through Rich right now. We just, Pastor Rich, Lord, we just thank you for that mantle. We thank you for, Lord, he comes in a higher level to be able to interpret dreams. He's put into the arena. Oh my gosh, I see that. It's very exciting. Adrian?
Father, I thank you for Pastor Rich, and I thank you for his understanding of the Jewish culture. Lord, and I thank you that you're going to give him revelation to be able to speak to the Jews, to our Hebrew brothers, Lord, on their level, so that he can speak their language, but that, just like Samuel, so that none of his words would fall to the ground. And Lord, that every word would hit the target, would shoot the goal, would hit the heart, Lord. We pray, Father, for revelation, fresh revelation, spirits of wisdom and understanding, the seven spirits of God. We pray that the menorah, Lord, he would be clothed with the menorah of God, with the seven spirits of God, Lord, to lead and guide him, Lord, and that there would be evidence of the presence of Yahweh to the Jews in him, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, let the seven spirits of God and the glory that's associated with that be upon our brother here right now.
And we're all going to, three of us, we're going to lay hands on this couple here. You know, I knew there was something special about you. You know, you saw me sort of drawn to you, and, you know, I've been talking to you. But I do see, I said that you're, I wasn't going to say it because you were busy and stuff like that, it wasn't an appropriate time, but I do see this ministry all over you, and I do see that you're called to release the word of the Lord, right? Might not think that now, but God's actually, you're going to rise up in authority, and I just want you to stand with your husband, and we're going to pray for both of them. We're just going to is this not out of school? This is okay. We want to just transfer what God is doing. Yeah, I just want to make sure that we're on the right page, because we don't want to do anything out of, you know. There's a guy. What happened with Demos, with the full gospel businessman? When Demos died, there was a great leader and said, this man should be the man taking over, but it was controversial. It was supposed to be another man, and then the whole thing split. We don't want to do things like that. We're going to make sure we're on the right page, because the full gospel businessman is in a split in two different entities now because of one bad word. And we're just going to make sure we're on the right page. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the presence of God over this couple.
We do.
We anoint them, and I thank you that they're ordained to take the baton, to be able to bring this. Lord, the harvest has been plowed. I think it's Hosea. It says, plowed the ground of the hardened hearts. And it says it's time to seek the Lord. I'm seeing that this is the place. And it's Hosea, I think it's Hosea 10. And it says, plowed the ground of the hardened hearts. And it says it's time to seek the Lord, because the ground has been plowed and the seeds have been sown. And now when you're praying, the seeds are going to get watered. And I see that this is actually not going to be a big enough building. And I prophesy this, that this is going to be a place where it's one level, but then there's going to be souls coming into the kingdom. And we think Pastor Rich has been a part of plowing, but there's going to be, I just see God's making this grow.
Whew. Lord, we want this man, this couple, these pastors to be equipped. But what I'm getting in my spirit is Jeremiah 1 verse 5. Don't call yourself a child. Don't let anybody look upon you as a child, but because before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and I called you to be a prophet. As a couple, you're a prophetic. You've had the prophetic teaching under Pastor Rich. And Father, we would call it forth right now, Lord. We pray for your equipping of Evan and his wife here. I'm not sure of her name, but Kirsten. We thank you for Evan and Kirsten, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you're calling upon them for such a time as this.
Fire.
Lord, the gifts that we carry, revelatory teaching, Father, I impart it to both of them, Lord, right now.
Yeah.
And Adam's seer gifting,
yeah,
Lord, he imparts that right now. And we're in unison and we're in agreement here by the mouth of two or three witnesses. We're agreeing for an impartation, a new level of ministry for our brother and sister. Lord, and just as Adam said, you're to seek the Lord. The time you spend with him is not wasted, and don't get distracted by busyness.
There's angels ascending and ascending. We decree angels ascending and descending over this couple. Lord, we thank you for the prophetic angel, the same type of angel you sent John the Apostle, release revelation. Lord, the healing angel in John 5, that same type of angel that released the healing power, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the healing power of God, the delivering angel, Acts 12, that set Peter free from the hands of Herod and what the people intend to do with him, with the Jewish people. We just thank you for the delivering angel. Lord, we thank you for the resurrection angels in Matthew 28. Lord, there's ascending and descending. As Jesus said to Nathaniel, you're going to see greater things. You're going to see angels ascending and descending and giving glory to the Son of God. And we just release this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank you for our worship leader. There's a lot of glory over this woman of God here. We got a woman. We have a woman of God alert here. Oh my gosh! I see you going to another level with the anointing, and there's such creativity. But just I love your voice. I do. I really. It's amazing. It rocks. But God's actually going to bring sounds and wonders that you've never heard before. And it's actually going to, it's going to actually move on people's hearts. It's going to, in a sort of a not good way, lack of a better terminology, it's going to creep on people's hearts. And it's just people are going to be moved. And God's calling you in now. There's a season for, and I don't know why I say this, but you need to learn how to come off fasts. But there's a season of fasting and seeking God. Because there's actually going to be a mantle that's going to come upon you another level, where it's going to be, there's a prophetic mantle while you're worshiping. And I just sense that. We want to impart that, Adrian.
So, Father, I agree with Adam right now, and we thank you for worship leaders who clear the way and build the path and bring the presence. The presence of Jesus is the kingdom.
Yeah.
If we could only understand that, the importance of the presence. And so, Father, we thank you for a worshiper heart, a heart after God. A woman, a couple with a heart after God right now,
yeah.
Lord, like David. And Lord, we release to her, as it were, the heart of David, fresh psalms, songs, spiritual hymns right now. Open the heavens, let the angels speak to her, let them guide her, Lord, I pray, let them carry the message from Jesus.
Yes, dreams, visions, and revelatory understanding. We release the blessing from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, Solomon, and Jesus inside of you.
Yes.
And we release that blessing. It's morphing right through the family. It's bringing a shockwave in the atmosphere. And we thank you, Lord, that as she sings, Lord, the atmosphere changes. And I just think, I decree double portion of what we have in Jesus' name. We decree that double portion. In Jesus' name.
Now, apparently, Adam, there is a senior pastor coming in, and Evan and Kirsten are under, going to be ministering with him. Now, what's his name?
It's John and Sarah Roth.
John and Sarah Roth. Sarah Roth.
Ah, yes. I know them.
You know the name, yes.
Yeah, they're related to Sid. No, I'm only kidding. No. We decree over them. Let's just reach your hands out. John and Sarah Roth. We decree in Jesus' name what's been released today, wherever they are. Lord, you move by the speed of thought. angels are sent ahead of those who inherit salvation, Hebrews 2. We release that right now in Jesus' name.
Yes.
There's an impartation where they are. The senior leaders are taking on this. And even these people are moving in such an anointing. Lord Evan, right now we prophesy in Jesus' name that he's the armor bearer, but also he's the Aaron. Right now we decree this in Jesus' name.
Yes.
We release this, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. We're going to finish in a moment. But look, if you like to invest into our ministry, okay? You okay? She's half whacked. Are you okay down there? It's a good, just let her just chillax. And it's beautiful when the presence of God is here. And it's better than a holiday in Hawaii. But just like to give you the opportunity to invest. All right, we're not going to ramble on, but we do invest to come to America, and we invest into our international airfares, but we don't charge for anything. But I'd like you to give the opportunity. We're going to pray for everybody, right, and just corporately, not one at a time, but I'm just going to quickly say a prayer. But I want to give the opportunity to sow a seed into our ministry. If you want to do that, you can write a check to, if you can do cash, but you can write a check to Dwelling Place Ministries. Dwelling Place Ministries. And also, Stephanie has a square for any credit card giving. But if you don't want to, please don't give the banks money. You have no means to pay it back. Just be wise about the credit card. We want to be ethical, all right? We don't want to be stupid. But we just want to, if you have the God speaking to you about a figure and you want to sow into the ministry, just see Janet and Stephanie. But then we're going to just pray over the seeds, okay? So if anybody here who wants to give credit cards, just keep your hands up or go see Janet. Who's standing over here, or Stephanie. But we just want to give you the opportunity. We're going to pray over the seeds, and then whatever you're going to do, I'm not sure if they just sow it or whatever, but we're going to pray over the seeds. And what you're doing is receiving a prophet's reward. What you've seen demonstrated today is transferable. But you're not buying it, we're not selling it. You're freely receiving and you're freely giving. If you don't feel to give, that you don't give it without faith, all right? But what we're going to do is just give you the opportunity to pray for you all. And I believe that this is transferable. Paul the Apostle said in Romans, how I long to impart my gift into you. Also says in Timothy, the book when he wrote to Timothy, how I long to inflame the gift that was imparted into you. So this is scriptural. So what I want you to do is just hold your seeds up, those who are sowing, and we're going to prophesy and we're going to pray for a blessing for you people. Amen. We'll pray for that. Those who are sowing, just hold it up. And I want everybody to stand. But those who are sowing, just hold up your seeds. Because everybody can stand. We're going to pray for everybody. If you can, please. If you can stand, that'd be great. Heavenly Father, we just prophesy right now. Just start praying in the Holy Ghost. I believe you're Pentecostal tongue-speaking believers. We prophesy in Jesus' name, Lord, that these seeds, you are watering these seeds. I thank you they're sowing in faith, not out of obligation. They're sowing in faith, and we prophesy that. And I want to thank people who have sown on the weekend. We prophesy, Lord, the seeds are turning into seedlings, into trees of righteousness. Lord, we thank you, Father, these people are coming into such maturity, revelation, the eyes of understanding opening up. I release the impartation right now, corporately, Father, of everything we have. We thank you, Lord, this is not just for gurus, this is not for gurus, this is for the body of Christ, this is for the believers to rise up in the power and the spirit of Elijah. We release this in Jesus' name.
Just as Isaac sowed 100-fold in Genesis 26, I pray as he moved through the wells, Lord, that there'll be a quick maturing of this body here right now into a spiritual prosperity, a spiritual inheritance. Lord, and that everything that they've sown over the weekend and today, Lord, I pray that you return it to them a hundredfold. Let them receive, Father, I pray, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Let them receive dreams and visions. Lord, let the word of God, the Logos, come alive and let them start to see the layers beneath the surface so that you can speak to them revelatory, Lord, and they can start to apply that to enter the kingdom, I pray, over this congregation, Lord. Thank you for sowing by faith here in this place. Every hand that's raised, Father, I pray, it's into the kingdom, that unseen realm right now, Lord, and I just call a return to every seed that is being sown here in Jesus' name.
Amen. I want to thank Pastor Rich for opening the Sunday for us, and Pastor Evan, we really appreciate your generosity. Thank you for having us. And guys, if you want to sow, the buckets is here. If you want to sow by faith, you can do that now, and then we're just going to close the meeting or hand it back to the pastor. There are products here. Also, the CDs on the weekend are available as well, right? So we got those who are... If you pass the bucket around, that'd be great, yeah. There's Adrian, do you want to quickly cover some of that?